In recent days, I've been feeling and thinking really quite in a belligerent way about COVID-19. And if that belligerence has spilled over into speech, to any of you, my apologies for that. But that's just the way it was. And in the next couple of weeks, I want to address some of the issues around COVID-19. And you know what? For the next 2 weeks, I thought I was going to be on a loser, but I'm in fact on a winner. Because I am not going to say anything that any of you would agree with totally. In some ways, I'm not going to go far enough. In some senses, I'm going to go too far. And I've just worked out this week that in the next 2 weeks, I'm going to alienate the whole congregation. So, yes. I can't lose. So it's not like I'm going to please some and annoy others. I'm going to annoy everyone. I've been waiting for this opportunity for so long. In John chapter 8 and verse 31, Jesus is speaking to Jews that speak from their tradition, and he says, to the Jews who have believed in Jesus, said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. And then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free? And Jesus replied, very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. I thought I was, well I didn't know, I knew I wasn't the only one that was thinking and feeling a bit of stress around COVID-19, but the depth of it struck me when recently we were on our pastor's retreat and two pastors separately, independently said to me, because I'm actually the retreat leader, I know, go figure, they said to me, we do not want to talk about COVID-19. COVID-19 is off the table in terms of discussion. However, it wasn't long before one of them thought to himself, if we go into lockdown, that means we get to spend the next 2 or 3 weeks on Fraser Island. So suddenly COVID-19 was back on the table. What a way to spend lockdown. 100,000 other people on the island, half of them lining up for their cappuccino on a flat white at the Euron Cafe. They did not want to talk about COVID-19. And I want to say this, and I know this is a general statement, but as Christians, we are facing the very real danger of losing the joy that we have in the freedom that only Jesus can give. But that's the situation we find ourselves in. We can talk a lot about COVID-19 and vaccinations, and we cover a little bit of that, probably not as much as you would want. But we are in danger of becoming reactive, angry, entitled, and joining the ranks of all the other angry, reactive, and entitled people who do not have hope in Christ and who do not have real freedom in Him. Let me just remind you of two places where we will not find freedom. Number one, we will not find freedom in government directives as they're either issued for our freedom or restrictions that curb our freedom. Ultimately, we will not find freedom in government directives. Now, I know I'm going to push a button here, but let me push it. The button is this. There is almost nothing in the New Testament or in the Scriptures to suggest that as Christians, we are just absolve ourselves from the responsibility of obeying government directives. Let me just read to you from, now I'll give some balance to that, okay? So don't send out the hate mail just yet. But let me give to you some evidence or some background to that. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority, whether to the emperor as the supreme authority, or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. Live as free people. Do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's slaves. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God and honour the emperor. Now, Peter is saying, somehow, as Christians, we can live as free people in the midst of all these restrictions that are bearing down on us and stressing us out. Somehow we can live as free people. Now, Paul would echo that in Romans chapter 13, where he speaks about submitting yourselves to authorities. Very similar thoughts. And don't forget that in the Sermon on the Mount, in chapter 5, Jesus said, if someone asks you to go a mile, go with them too. Now, the background for that is this. Living in the day of the Roman Emperor and the Roman government, and this is how it would happen. I would come up to Jed here. I'm a Roman centurion. Just use your imagination. I would come up to Jed, and with the flat of my sword, I would lay it on Jed's shoulder, and I would say, hey, you, pick up that pack and walk it a mile. Right? This is a Roman centurion, and a Roman governor, and a jolly heavy pack with all that bully beef, condensed milk and chocolate. And Jesus says, in the midst of one of the most oppressive, godless, corrupt governments, if a centurion tells you to walk a mile, you go the extra mile. Do you want to hear this or not? Do you really want to hear this? There is nothing specifically directed at us to just ignore government directives because we don't like them or we find them inconvenient. There is an exception to that, and I'll get into it. Now, we need to remember that before COVID-19, there were many government directives that we had to comply with around work safe, child safe, employment, and all of these things are expensive and they're time-wasting. No, they're not. I mean, but, you know, they are. They are expensive and they occupy a lot of our time. However, we need to reconcile something. And what we need to reconcile is this, that the same Peter who said submit yourself to authorities, government and civil authorities, is the Peter who, with John, fronted the Sanhedrin. Now, there's the detail in that story, chapter 5, that you shouldn't forget. Because it's not a civil or a government authority, it's actually the religious council. These are the highest level of Jewish elders. And Peter and John front them and they say, you know, you want us to stop preaching the gospel? It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. We will obey God rather than man. Now, all of us, most Christians would agree that there is a place and a time when Christians should push back. That there is a moment when a government, civil authority or a government will step over the line and we will have to say, sorry, we must obey God and not man.
Yes, that's right.
Paul, in Acts chapter 22, Paul is about to be flogged. And as he's stretched out on the rack, Paul says, hey, you can't do this because I'm a Roman citizen. And the centurion was very surprised and went to his superior. His superior came back all huffy and said, I paid a lot of money to become a Roman citizen. And Paul says, I was born one. In other words, you were ripped off, man. You got ripped off. And Paul appeals to the legal avenue that's open to him, and he does it again in Acts 25, check it out yourself. Twice he appeals to the legal avenue that's open to him, to push back against something that he thinks is not right and reasonable. And I believe that we live in this tension of understanding that by and large we are to obey God and correct us, but there is a time where we will draw the line in the sand. Now, for those of you who can remember my email a couple of weeks ago, I believe the line in the sand, personally, and this is me speaking, not the leadership of the church, I'm not speaking on behalf of them. Personally, I think the line in the sand is we've mandated vaccinations. And I'm concerned about those for two reasons. Reason number one, for the political and the practical inconsistency of them, which is so obvious. And secondly, and this is perhaps more concerning, for the potential of a great social divide in our nation. Now, I'm praying against this happening, but I perhaps could anticipate the day where church will be open to only those who are vaccinated. And for me, that is the line in the sand where I will push back and say, actually, the Bible says the church is open to all to come, not just those who are vaccinated. Okay? While ever saying that where government directives are reasonable and we just don't like them, or for reasons that we just don't like them, we can't just disobey them. So there is a balance there. Now the second place you will not find freedom is this. You will not find freedom in your mind with respect to COVID-19. In the sense that you can come up with a watertight resolution to all of the anomalies and the contradictions that are flooding us every day. Let me give you an illustration. Greg Hunt, Chief Health Minister, and the Deputy Secretary of the Therapeutic Goods Association have both said that the rollout of the COVID-19 vaccine is basically one large clinical experiment. Now, in the light of that, and that's an honest admission. Now, in the light of that, by the way, I'm not an anti-vaxxer. I've been vaccinated. I'm not a pro-vaxxer either. I'm a bit of nothing when it comes to the vaccination. I'll come back to that in a minute. I'm not an anti-vaxxer. But in the light of that, governments mandating that everyone should be vaccinated, I think, is an anomaly that you cannot reconcile in your head. Here is another one. There's a group of people called the vaccine reluctance people. That's kind of a really crude way of describing them, right? And in America, typically they tend to be right-wing rednecks. Okay? So now they're pushing back to mainstream Christianity and saying, hey, you know, why do you have to get vaccinated? Why can't you just trust God? These same people retain their right to bear arms, and most of them have got a cache of weapons that would supply a small army. So the pushback from the vaccinated Christians to them is, hang on a minute, why can't you trust God to protect your household? there is a huge anomaly there. There is another one that a friend of mine made me aware of and actually brought to mind, and it's this. It's this, that many of the people that will be promoting mandated vaccinations will be pro-choice people. In other words, my body, my choice. And they'll also be pro-assisted dying people, my life, my choice. However, they're saying, no, but you must be vaccinated. What I'm saying, and I hope you can get the gist of this, it's this, that you will not come to any sense of freedom in your mind about COVID-19, because the whole situation is one big basket case. Yes? Okay. legislation for city clubs, isn't it? I meant to say too that the issue of mandated vaccinations is not a theory. Okay, this is beginning to bite now. And there are, I won't mention names, but there are people that you know and I know that are already significantly impacted by this. So we don't find freedom from government directors whether they issue freedom or whether they restrain us. We don't find freedom in our heads about some kind of logical resolution to COVID-19. And I don't mean to insult your intelligence, but I don't think you'll find freedom in your thinking. Let me illustrate it more. In 1 week, I can have someone send me a link to a medical professional who has said, you know, this isn't about the vaccination, don't get it. The very next day, I'll get another email from someone saying, oh, here's a view from another professional, equally qualified, equally credentialed people, but opposite view. There is only one place that we will find freedom and that we will find joy in our freedom, and it's the freedom that we have in Christ. And it's the freedom that we can enjoy and live in while ever we live in this convoluted, crazy world that we're living in. And so Jesus is speaking to people who thought they were free. He's speaking to Jews. And they're saying, huh, you know, you can talk about freedom and truth, but we tell you, Jesus, that we are connected biologically with Abraham, and in Abraham we have freedom. And so what they're saying is, we are riding the coattails of the righteousness of one of our forebears, and through him, vicariously, we are free people. How dare you challenge our freedom? We are children of Abraham. And then Jesus goes on to say, well, actually, you're not children where you are biologically, but spiritually you're not children of Abraham. You are not free. And he goes on to talk about slaves and sons. And a slave is someone who is ultimately enslaved to sin. Someone whose every inclination is selfish, whose heart is hard towards God, who is limited in their life because every decision that they make is a selfish decision, and there is no freedom for that. And Jesus is saying, you're slaves. You might be children of Abraham, but you're slaves to sin. But if the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. And humanity needed someone outside of slavery to set us free, because in reality, in our natural state, we are all slaves. We are all inclined to live our life the way we want. We are all inclined to give God the finger. To say, God, I know what you want me to do, but look at me do what I want to do anyway. And the only way that we are free is if the Son sets us free. Now, here's the takeaway. That freedom means three things, I think. Practical advice. The first is this. We are free to remember how all of this ends. I don't know whether you've read your Bible lately, but if you go to your concordance, you will not find COVID-19 in the concordance. And we are free to remember that at the end of all of this is the victory of Jesus and the restoration of all things. Now, just let that wash over you a little bit this week when you're in dismay. We know how this ends. It ends in the victory of Jesus. One of the areas of our theology that is lacking is the Christus Victor, the victory of Christ in all things. He has the final word. Amen? So, here's your homework. Go through the New Testament. and find every reference in the New Testament that speaks about the victory of Christ in and through all things. And that will grow in your heart. And it will restore the joy of your freedom in Christ, I'm sure. The second thing is this. We have the freedom, then, to pray for those who we believe are persecuting us, i.e. the government, depending on your view. Because the scriptures tell us that we are to pray for those who persecute us. And if in the worst case scenario you see that the government is persecuting us, then pray for them and pray God's blessing on them. Only we are free to do that. Everyone else is going to be polarized by the decisions that are made. But only in Christ are we free to pray for those who persecute. And there's times where I just feel a deep sense of sorrow, and, well, I'm not sure it's love, but it's something, for our leaders, because every day they stand up in front of the cameras now, they used to be, and they give a COVID-19 report. This many active cases, this many people, affected, whatever, these areas are locked down. And you have to feel for them. Whatever other motives there are behind all this, and I'm not naive enough to believe that we're all pure, come to that next week. But whatever else is happening, our leaders are tired. Because they can't just stand up and say, oh, well, folks, you know, the country's a basket case. From now on, if every man does whatever he sees fit in his own eyes, good luck, you're on your own. They can't do that. They've got to try and encourage the nation and the people. And while ever we believe that the decisions may not be right or totally right or there's inconsistency, we are to pray for those who we think may be persecuting us. All of our enemies, if you see the government as an enemy. And I'm encouraging you not to see it that way. And here's the final thing. Warren, would you come and stand with me, please? Here's the final thing. Now, I don't know whether Warren can be vaccinated, or I don't want to know. He doesn't have to tell anyone. Okay? So here we are, brothers. Let's just pretend that Warren's not been vaccinated. In Romans chapter 14, is one of the most liberating passages you'll ever read. Because in Romans 14, Paul teaches that one man can eat meat and observe a special day, and another man will not eat meat or observe that special day. And one man arrives at a decision before God, having understood and reflected on the truth, the reality, the facts. One person will make a decision here, a matter of conscience, and another person just on that side of the divide will make the opposite decision, having arrived at the decision in the same way. And both of those men, if you notice the passage, both of those men or women will live out that decision in faith in God. Now that's wonderfully liberating, because I believe fundamentally that the decision, there's other factors, but fundamentally the decision to be vaccinated or not is a matter of a man or a woman's conscience before God, that then must be lived out in faith. In fact, if you are coerced, if you look at that passage carefully, if you are coerced outside of your conviction, you are not living in faith before God. It's a very powerful passage. So the reality is this. One man is vaccinated. One man is not. I don't know whether he's not or not. He is or not. Doesn't matter. Because if he's decided not to be vaccinated, then he has reached that decision before God as a matter of conscience. But he's living out our own faith, and I'm living out my decision in faith, and together we are brothers in Christ. And in reality, there's not much between us. Is there? It's just a decision that one's made and one hasn't. I'm loving God. That's very powerful. Because The narrative of our culture is that there's going to be a great divide between those who are and those who aren't. But I want to say that that narrative stops at the door, and there's a new narrative when we come into this world. And the new narrative is this, that one person will make a decision before God, another will make another decision, that both of those people will live that out in faith before Him, and in love we will live together. So you will not be rejected. You will not be rejected from this church on the basis of whether you've been baptized or not. Let me push that a little bit further. I've been vaccinated, but the reality is I'm a little bit ambivalent about vaccination. And my point about standing close to someone on the other side of the divide is that there is some ambivalence here against the person who's not vaccinated. There's some ambivalence here, the person is vaccinated, but the two aren't very far apart in harmony. The two aren't very far apart. And that's a narrative you don't hear in our culture, because what you hear is, you're either vaccinated or you're not. You can either fly out and see when they open up travel, or you can't. Well, that's a lot of trouble. And this is biting really hard people that we don't know. Well, I hope you've heard my heart. That's enough for me. I'll pick this up next week when I talk about vaccinations. No, conspiracy theories. Submarines and COVID-19. Now, I'm happy for you to press this further with me afterwards, because I've thrown a few reminders out there. But before you do that, let me pray that God will give you grace. But give us grace to live with each other and to be the example to this world of a different story. The story of people who are wrestling with not just COVID-19, but all of the other stuff that's going on. Story of people who in Christ are one, who in Christ have the unity of the Spirit and are working together towards the unity of faith. And we pray that we can be somewhat of a difference to this world as we move forward this week and the next week. In Jesus' name.